Happy Monday, everybody.
Happy Monday. Happy Welcome Monday. To the podcast.
Dude, what do you got on your phone there, Jer?
Deleting stuff.
Everybody wants to know.
I'm deleting. That's what happened.
What'd you delete?
All the spam emails that come through so that I don't get, so they don't show up in the mix of everything else.
Many spammer.
Some spam emails from signing up for Wayfair for our company and stuff like that, you know, like signed up for Wayfair 7 years ago.
Yeah, all the couch steals.
Yeah, exactly.
What's Wayfair? Oh, the furniture stuff?
Yeah, which, I mean, if you just, they have a lot, actually.
They got some pretty good shit, actually.
They got a bunch of good shit. You just have to, I mean, I bought my home couch on that.
It's like, nice and designy.
Yeah, hey, happy Monday. That's all. I don't really have anything else on my phone except for notes for my friends.
Oh, yeah?
Basecamp notes.
Yeah, I mean, what we were just talking about, right? Goals for
the quarter.
Goals for next quarter.
Goals for the quarter. I'm pumped. This is how I see it. Hang on, let me get my notes.
Yeah, get pumped. I can see the pump. He's running. Okay, what do your notes say?
Well, I'm trying to figure out. So one of the things that I'm always trying to figure out is where the fuck do I fit in life and work and, you know, relationships.
Classic us.
In everything.
Shorts or no shorts?
Shorts or no shorts? Dude, you saw me in shorts at the beach. Yeah.
You're on the internet in shorts, aren't you?
Little girl loves the beach. Yeah, Chuck sent a comment over. Rare comment.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Chuck was on Instagram. I saw you responded to that because you went to Refuge.
Every once in a while, Chuck pops up on Instagram, dude. Yeah. So it's a treat.
Big days.
Yeah. It's a treat.
It's a real treat
for everybody. So I think, so this is kind of where my mind was at, because we were talking about QC cupping and calibration and
huge
then
fan.
Score sheet and walking the floor.
Yeah.
And I feel like those would be cool places for like us to collaborate on, like on a regular basis with the people who are in them.
Be super fun.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because there's this, one of the things that happens when your company grows is you kind of get pulled away from the things that you used to do a lot of.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I haven't really touched coffee in any kind of intense way in a while, or, you know, like drink it or like drop in on something, taste some espresso, but not like deeply involved in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So just kind of getting closer to that again feels, I don't know, feels refreshing.
Absolutely.
Honestly, getting able to hang out with you, dude, it's always
a
treat.
I can tell you, man.
You know what
I'm
saying?
It's a fun time.
Well, so what are those if you dig in? You kind of ran through them quickly.
Well, okay. So...
WTF,
context,
dude, walk the floor.
Context, we just had our, you know, we just had our Monday owner meeting to kick in the freaking new week every week,
9
a.m. without fail.
Mm-hmm.
I was late today because we were talking to one of our
another owner of another company. Yeah.
Another BO. Yeah. So QC and cupping calibration. I mean, so Jared, I'm gonna set you up. So we're getting ready to go to SCA. We talked about
Give
this a little bit a couple weeks ago on the podcast, but whenever there's these like moments in time where you get a super spark and you go in deep.
Yeah.
So SCA is kind of one of those times. Yeah. So Jared's all fired up. He's like, okay, we're going to take coffee to SCA for sure. We're going to make some espresso. We're probably gonna make some brewed coffee. And we're always thinking about like, how do we optimize the coffee? But there's these little times that spark this experimentation, right? So you're just kind of like, what would the best possible representation of this look like? And how can I try and tweak some things and set that up. And there's a few things that you've revisited that we've done in the past, and there's some new ground that you're pushing into. But it's kind of taking that essence of experimentation and just applying it to the whole company. Like, what does it look like to connect all of the dots? Because there's, you know, there's roasting, there's green coffee, there's Mark and the director of quality control. There's like a bunch of different arms, and we have to all be aligned. And that's tricky when you have a big company.
The octopus.
Yeah. Talking about connecting the octopus. So it's
I love that stuff. I mean, that's my brain loves to live in those places of trying to find through lines and connection pieces. It's always challenging. I think it's different. And we're, you know, in talking about goals, you have multiple heads of people and departments working together to do a thing, you know, and calibrate what it looks like. You have a quality control system that currently exists and then an evolved vision of what it could look like. And all that space in between and all the hands that touch it.
Yeah. I'm picturing a lot of hands on, but I'm also picturing, you tell me what you think about this, maybe some breakout groups.
Absolutely.
Almost after hours or special times where there's like a half hour set aside. And it's essentially kind of like a class or educational opportunity with the whole roastery green QC. Like if we took the quarter and looked at it, it's like, okay, there's work that has to be done every day. But then one of the big challenges with a bigger group is how do you make people feel like they're engaged in the process? Mm-hmm. And that's generally not doing something and then telling them what you did and saying like, you have to do this now, right? It's like pulling them along the whole way. So mm-hmm. how can we make it interesting and fun and to where they're participating the whole time and not just getting handed down an ultimatum?
The finished product.
Right. It's like, you roast like this now.
Yeah.
Have a good time. Yeah, it's better taste chocolatey, you motherfucker.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's, you can't do that.
Drink it.
We can, what I've been doing so far, and again, we're at the beginning of the journey though, is you'll roast with them and then you'll have them roast the same thing. They'll be roasting, you'll kind of be suggesting what should happen and could happen during that roast. They're kind of physically doing it. Then we're taking that and tasting it. So, you know, the first week, I was pulling the coffee and Eli was tasting with me. And then the second week he was pulling it and I was tasting and we were making suggestions and then sharing shots that were whatever, however they were, with Andre and Soren. They'd get like one. They didn't get every coffee because they're still working, right? So again, we're like, we're pre-combining everybody and we're just kind of mixing and giving them a little taste, but giving them verbal feedback and then letting these people kind of live in their departments. We also then, we did run a cupping of all these coffees side by side. And it was interesting there, like, to see how the coffees were perceived and to taste like whatever it was. The last time we podcasted before I went out of town, we cupped Nell and Guzman, but it was only one of them was only one day off roast. And it's currently the one that's on fire. And we cupped it on the table and everybody's like, oh, I like this other one better. And I'm like, I think this is the one. It's just a little bit experience. I was like, you can taste a lot of complexity and all this, that, and the other. And they're like, I don't know, kind of just can't tell. And it's like 2 weeks later we're tasting it and they're like, holy shit, this is the one.
What do you think?
But that's just experience. That's time,
the,
10 year,
and that's the calibration opportunity. Right, it's to,
how are you approaching that in the moment when people are saying, I think this one's the one, and you're like, nah,
well, I'm saying no, and I'm trying to validate what they're tasting to kind of help them see that I'm understanding that. Then I'm also trying to pull them to say, hey, are you tasting the complexity in this? And are you tasting beyond the freshness and like looking for what could be in here? And that somewhat is just going to take time and practice. And somewhat is, I mean, it's all that. It's actually, that is all it is, right? You have to taste over and over and over again to be able to say, And through the as the coffee ages, right? You have to taste it at the beginning. You're going to have to taste it in the middle. And you have to taste it at the towards the end. And then you have to taste it when it's gone too far. And that's been interesting too.
Right. Like, if you're only tasting things 7 days off roast, then it's like you don't have those. Building that muscle of what things taste like.
Well, I mean, I was victim to it.
Same day, day off roast.
Yeah. How do you approach that at Origin? It's like you're cupping really fresh coffees, right? Maybe they've
roasted
it in a barrel roaster yesterday or something.
It's 100% what Jared's talking about, and it is a skill and like a muscle to build up over time. And there it's really cool because you can you can go to Origin, taste, right, like really sensorially log all of that, and then when you've bought those coffees, brought them here, roasted them, you can see what they turn into. And it's like building that like memory and that connection between what you're tasting at Origin and how those same coffees turn out when we're production roasting them. And you do that over time and you start to build this muscle of like being able to see the potential for what these coffees can be when they get, you know, get to our roastery.
Yeah, you're essentially predicting the future. Which is pretty sick.
I mean, it still happened to me, and I had tasted the Matondo, and I had some different roasts of it, and I tasted one, and I was like, oh, that's going to be too deep. It's too dark. Dark's not the right word, but I went too far in some areas. It's not doing what I wanted it to do, and that was like 7-8 days, and then we came back, and Eli was setting it up, and actually our friend Ian Sane was visiting, so I was surprised us actually. He's an old friend in coffee. He was in the cafe, and so I texted Eli. I was like, hey, I'm gonna be 5 minutes late, I'm bringing somebody over, but you can get started. And he put that same coffee in, and in my mind when I was getting over there, I wasn't gonna actually pull that coffee. He put it in to try it, and it fully had settled. Like a lot of the freshness and the roast had faded, and it was actually really, it was almost where I wanted it to be, but a lot closer than I imagined. And so you have to do that diligence if you want to have a QC program and an understanding of what coffee can be and actually, you know, optimize it. And that leads into, if we're going to prepare a coffee for SCA, I now know that whatever curve I need to pick for that coffee, no matter how light or dark it is, I want it roasted in such a way that it's going to hit SCA somewhere between 12 days and peak. 14 days so that it's going to like peak through the weekend.
Peak through the weekend.
And we know that stuff through barista competition as well, is like we would find our coffees and find that. But not only that, we'd say, hey, we roast it. I want you to put it in the bucket for sealed in the bucket for the night. And then I want you to put it right into the bag fully sealed and we're not going to open it. And then we're going to open it the night before practice the night before practice. And then we're going to dial it in the next morning and that's perfect. You know, and that's a level of understanding your product that's really cool and fun for me.
Dude, shout out to Kyle Glanville. Back in the day, when he was at Intelli, they would have their big batch buckets that they would, you know, fully seal and they would drill and tap the bucket lids with the one-way valve that would go in the bag.
Yeah.
So he'd be actively degassing in the bucket.
In like a really large amount.
Yeah. I thought that was a cool idea. I was like, damn, you little guy.
Yeah. So anyways, back to your
point. Little tiny guy.
It will be that. It'll be a lot of learning together. And I think with that, there's osmosizing, right? And you're calibrating and then building the system. And then continuing to bring everybody together more and more through the process as we solidify.
Yeah, it's kind of like you need both sides. You need that osmosis where you're soaking it in, where you're kind of feeling it. You get the emotion of learning a new thing. And then you need the solid SOP that backs it up because those emotions will fade and you'll just start to kind of be like, oh, I'm going to try this out.
People come in.
Slip here. Yeah, new staff for sure. But what you really want is like creating that culture of everyone that's there at any given time is doing things in the same way and they know why. They have the reasons for doing it. And that's like a cool little restart. I don't know. Thinking about those things over the scope of a quarter feels nice to me because I feel like in other jobs or like just time, I want shit to be done as soon as possible because I'm incredibly impatient. I just am and I'm working on it, but.
You can see it. So why isn't it there?
Well,
it turns out it's not often the best way.
It's terrible. It mostly just creates anxiety for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because nobody else is stressed out by these things or not as much as I am. And I can see what needs to happen. I'm just like, dude, okay. And if I just maybe, and then I'll just work really like a maniac for 3 or 4 days and then don't get as far as I want and I'm roasted and it's just, it's terrible. So it's cool to have these quarterly benchmarks where it's like, okay, cool. We have 3 months to figure this out. They'll kind of plan this little arc and then just you get I get more joy out of the process when I can see the longer term goal and there's not like I'm staring down the barrel of a gun like do this shit next week.
The journey is actually a good time.
It actually is a good time.
Yeah.
That's
the goal.
That's the goal, dude. I'm like, I'm just trying to really lean into that. It's like, how can I have fun with this thing? Because there's so many ways that it can go wrong. You know,
well, and there's so many goals, there's so many things we can want to achieve, and that then it becomes like less enjoyable as you're just like, goal, okay, what's next? Goal, okay, what's next? That's just exhausting. And it's like, if we can stretch it to where we're enjoying the journey along the way, it's like, I think that's way more, that's way more where I want to live than like just trying to hit all these goals, like I got to get to the goal and stressing yourself out on the way to the goal. And then you get the goal and you're like, okay, I'm not even going to enjoy it.
Right. Next one.
Stress to the next goal.
Yeah. And you get there and you're not even happy. Like when it happens, you're just like, cool. You're not thankful that it happened or excited. You're just like, take it for granted because that's just something that is supposed to happen.
Yeah.
Like that should have been there the whole time. Like, I don't know, man.
It turns out there's another way.
There is another way. It's a lot harder.
There's another way. I know I got to build in some real good rituals around celebration.
Yeah.
Maybe that could be Q3, Q4, guys. Or
2025. Yeah, but also again, I mean, if you're celebrating along the way, right? It's like then I think there's less of a need for like stop goal. We did it. Hooray. Everything becomes more of like a flow that is being intentionally like enjoyed. You know, you're working hard, you're enjoying it, you're recognizing what you're doing along the way. Yeah. And then cool, we've hit the goal, and that sets us up for like the next journey that we want to take. And it's not like bam, 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 bam.
Let's play Madonna Holiday and talk about celebrating at the end of every quarter. I'm like, okay, guys, just holiday. Start the, yeah, we're going to listen to it. Yeah. Celebrate.
We kind of have been celebrating at the end of every quarter.
Holiday.
We've got quarterly staff meeting that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's been, it's been really
good. Like a celebration. It feels pretty good.
That will be fun. Yeah.
At least it
feels. That's coming up. Yeah. Well, the last one was a lot of fun.
Feels good to me.
A lot of love. Got some tears out of people. It was great.
Really?
That's what I was told. I mean, made us tear up to think about those people loving us.
Damn.
Saying nice things. I'm like, yeah.
That's awesome.
They do love you. Yep, it's not real. Yeah. We aren't just making it up.
That's so cool to hear those things. It's just some that guy I was telling you about, Josh, the guest that comes in, he said the old version of our mission when he was talking to me. It was crazy. So this guest comes in. He sits in front of the espresso machine every day. I've never talked to him, just like maybe said hi here and there. And he comes up to me and he's like, you're one of the owners, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, I just need to tell you, I don't know what your involvement is here. I don't know what you do in the day to day. But your team, all these people are incredible. They're on another level from everywhere else in town, and you can feel it. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate it so much. It's a big part of my day. Whatever you guys are doing, just keep doing it. He's like, you can see it right now. I'm like beaming. I came in and I'm leaving happier than I came in. And I was like, oh yeah, that's actually one of the little things we used to say when we were setting things up. It's like, oh, like, you know, distilled down. It's like, if we can leave people feeling happier than we found them, you know, we know we're pointed in the right direction.
Yeah.
It's just kind of cool. Kind of cool to hear that.
Man. Yeah. I really love that concept still. I think it's really powerful.
It was pretty radical. I was pretty stoked on that.
We had people outside of Portola as well. A guy named Mathieu.
Mathieu?
He's all, you can call me Matt, or you can try to express it because it's like French. But
I don't want to fuck with French Mathieu, people. Sorry, dude.
Mathieu. Anyway,
do you know the
him and some homies from Portland, and I was sitting there with my girls, and it was the same thing. He's like, "Hey, you're Jared, right?" And he goes, "It's kind of weird because I've been listening to you talk to your girls, but I've been listening to the podcast for you guys." And they were on a road trip, and they were same thing. They're like, "Man, the people here are really great." Like. Kudos, 10 out of 10. And we had a good talk about life and learning. And he was asking, like, what am I learning and working on now is where we're at. And we had a cool conversation, which is a lot of what we talk about here.
Yeah.
You know, how do you help other people do the things? Well, basically the whole conversation that we just had about calibration and talking in some capacity. And then we talked about the burrito, and then he came over to Swift Street and he was like, turns out this burrito is life-changing. He texted me that. I was like, well, thanks, man. I thought you were leaving town, but that's awesome. You stopped at one more cafe on the way out of here. So
that's tight.
The team
couldn't resist.
Yeah. And I got to share about Alyssa too, which was cool. And knowing her since she was like 6 years old. And
I want to do some coffee tourism.
Like another city?
It's funny.
Well,
yeah.
That's what Chicago
I feel like LA be. Sounds like a good time right now.
It's pretty fun.
Nice weather.
Warmer.
It'll be 10 miles in 2 hours. That's the hard part. We'll get it right. Let's get there early.
We'll figure it out. Yeah.
I am bummed to miss Chicago. I really enjoy SCA. I feel like I get so much out of like talking to everybody and just everybody that connects with us. But it's daughter's theater performance that weekend. So
what are they performing?
It's the Wizard of Oz.
Oh, okay.
So I gotta choose family on this round.
Do it.
Family
I did
first,
that last
baby.
Year.
Yeah, I know.
And then the Pandy.
What are you looking forward to seeing there? What do you think you're going to get into?
I don't know Chicago at all. So just I have a
SCA
lot of people saying,
general.
Yeah, I want to see. I mean, there's a lot of friends and people who I just haven't seen since 2019. I mean, it's a long time for me when I've gone every year. So I think I'll get a lot from catching up with people and where they're at and what they're going through. That I mostly get a lot from that. I think I'll love to be of any kind of service and answer any kind of questions. I enjoy that. Miranda, who we worked with for a while, started a little toy business, a small group of people. I'm still kind of learning about it, but they started a group of like women business folk that are going to help mentor and, she wanted me to stop by. They're putting together a place basically where it's just like a hangout, like Wi-Fi, chill.
Where
drink
is it?
Coffee. It'll be at the, it's like on the floor somewhere.
Oh, they're setting up something at SCA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so, but she's been doing really awesome work I've seen and put in some legit work. So go say hi and catch up with some people that just like have worked with and connected with over the years that I just haven't seen. Like that's where I've gotten so much of my energy.
Yeah.
I mean, Noah, Cafe Imports, Art Presso folk.
Yeah,
the people who have competed over the years. I don't know, people like Will Frith, homies that are just like, you, there's people in the world that you like vibe with and you're like, I would be friends with them and like hang out, but they don't live here or anywhere near me, you know? So there's a number of people like that that I hope to see. I don't know who's going to be there, you know? How about you?
I don't know.
I mean, obviously eating food in another city is
no
one of my
freaking
favorite
clue.
Things.
No freaking clue.
That's it. And I want to drink some coffee. I want to prepare some coffee. I want to share our
Serving coffee is super fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we're taking team members that have never, that haven't been to SCA before, which is always.
Dude, Kira's fucking juiced, bro. She's so yeah. pumped. I'm like so stoked.
Yeah, Eli,
so
Genesis.
Rad. Eli all... and Genesis are going to have they're all going to have their fucking minds melted. They're going to be so amped.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, I don't know. I can't.
Same.
Yeah.
I mean,
gonna,
same.
They're going to be like ear to ear.
Yeah. I think just being there, I mean, it's going
to
be great.
What was the first SCA you ever went to?
Long Beach.
Long Beach.
Yeah.
Dude, that was LBC. The first time. I met Lem Butler there.
1992.
Back in 86.
Practiced next to Bill Will. And he was all, you got a cool coffee tattoo, man. And I was like, thanks, dude. And then he tried to help. And then that was great. It was a fun weekend. So much bigger than I anticipated.
Is that Heather won? For the second time?
Yeah, Heather won that one.
Boss, dude. She's boss.
Yeah. Because everybody thought Bill Will was going to win, and then he didn't. Because that was after his
that
coffee
was every
caviar.
Year.
That was the coffee caviar year, if I'm not
no,
mistaken.
No, that wasn't the coffee
caviar
year.
Was it the year after
year.
That?
Oh, it was. That, I think that was the year after that. I think Long Beach was the one where he didn't even make it into the finals. It was the scoring debacle year.
Oh, wait. Yeah, Kyle got second, right, that year?
There was like some
it's
weird...
It's been a while. No, did Kyle win that one?
No, Kyle didn't win Long Beach. Kyle won...
What was
Minneapolis?
It?
Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, because then Minneapolis was the next one. That's right, because I was supposed to go to Minneapolis the next one. And
I remember I was driving
Drew.
With Drew in the car, yeah. And you were just like, I can't go. I got to work.
Yeah, we were opening Verve. We couldn't do it. Like, dang it.
Like, I want to go. I just...
Yeah, couldn't. There was no employees.
Yeah, that's still, what, 41st? It was just 41st.
That was early. Yeah, it was 2000.
No,
that was
no
2000.
Seabright even.
It was, oh, that was, nah, it was 08, so it was it was probably
that was the year you won regionals.
Yes, regionals.
Yeah,
yeah.
So it was mm-hmm. That was like I went and competed at regionals over 3 days. I literally prepared like Thursday for a Saturday routine, and it was horrible. I was not stoked,
turns
but
out.
Did my best. Yeah, it was tough.
That was
very stressed out.
That was hilarious.
No
dude.
Sleep, no life. But anyways, yeah. Then we were trying to go, but there was no. Team members to work at Verve, so we just kept working at Verve. Kept opening the company. It was just nothing else to do, and there's only five of you. It's like, sorry guys,
that's freaking awesome.
Maybe there was seven of us at the time, but there wasn't enough.
Oh man, I miss those early days over there. It was a really cool vibe.
There was, we were, yeah, focused. There was a lot going on. That was all I did.
I know. I remember you brought me in the back and you had the case of emergency.
I was like,
that you bought for the staff. You're like, this is so nobody gets sick.
Yeah. Like, we have to survive.
I was like,
no,
okay,
one can go. No one can leave.
Uh-uh. I made one mistake of drinking too much once, and I was like, this is the worst. I had, like, Sean had to come in and cover for me. I was
wait,
like,
you drank too much emergency?
No, sorry. And
drank too much, just drank too
much.
Yeah, because
I'd come from, Chico, and I was like, oh, I can go out. I'm fine. And I hadn't, had drinks at all, and I was, like, so hungover.
There's so many fun little stories in there. So, like, Sean, super down with Sean.
Yeah.
Always like Sean. He's a really interesting guy, though. And I remember when he was roasting the coffee, because we roast next door.
Sorry, that was our slogan.
He wasn't the most forthcoming with information. You know, he liked his craft, and he kind of kept everything to himself. And I would go over there and talk to him, and we were always cool, but I was trying to get him to tell me what he was doing with the coffee, and I just couldn't get anything out of him. It
trade secret.
I just like super frustrated.
You work here, but trade
like,
secret.
I was just like, dude, I'm just trying to understand. This
like, we're
is,
on the
like,
same
espresso
team.
Espresso better, right? And I'm an annoying barista, whatever, dude. So I was at the register. It was super slow, and I can't remember who I was talking to. Like, it might have been Jade or it might have been Megan or something, but I was just talking shit about him. I was just like, I'm over there, fucking Sean won't tell me shit. He's just like doing his own thing, da-da-da-da-da. And then he like peeks his head out. He was in the hallway, like right around the corner. He heard the whole thing, and he just like looks at me and just walks away. And I was like, fuck, dude. Oh my God. So like my shift ended and I was like, I gotta go next door. So I like go next door and I was like, hey man. He's like, yeah, that was pretty fucked up. And I was like, fair. That's a fair statement. I shouldn't have talked shit to you behind your back. Like, that is fucked up. I also think it's pretty fucked up that you won't tell anything yeah. about the coffee. I just want to know. Like, I'm not trying to ask. I'm not trying to tell you how to do your job. You know? And you know, we chopped it up for 20 or 30 minutes and worked it out and left, and it was all good. But it was
so
just,
funny.
I don't know. I just always remember that day. And he's someone that I always felt like I understood him. Like, I never had a problem with him or anything, because he's just, to me, he's like a pure artist.
Yeah. Did he tell you the information?
Yeah.
No, but we fully understood each other after that. It was full
he's
understanding.
He's just like, no, I'm never going to tell you. And
well, I think I'll do mine. It'd be almost like you would almost just have to tell him, like, this is just what I want more of in the coffee, and just let him try to do it or do it.
Yeah. He was like a trust
that's
me
how
guy.
It worked. Yeah, he's like, trust me, just tell me what you want.
Which is really, and I feel like
that is pure artist, right?
I trusted him with roasting as much as I could trust anybody, which I can't actually have full trust in anybody because I'm kind of a control freak. So when he's roasting my coffee for competition, it's like, I just want to know everything. Like, you know, I want to know like exactly what's happening. And he was approaching it from the other angle, which was like, dude, it doesn't matter. You just need to let your taste be the guide. And like,
and he would say that too. He's all, you just need to make it good.
And I'm just like, okay, respect. But I still like, if there's something we can work on together, you know,
because there's no curve.
There was curves, but there was less.
Were you guys logging?
There
curves?
There was no.
I don't think
it wasn't
logging
Cropster.
Curves. Sorry. You guys definitely weren't running Cropster.
We were logging numbers,
like spreadsheet
style,
yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, it was like the classic, like gas up, gas down, at charge at,
yeah,
time
on the
whatever.
Funky little
both the numbers Enviro or anyway
L12 or whatever
L12
yeah, which is just its own thing anyway.
L12 and SF1.
Yeah, that shit was wild. Yeah, I always remember that day. I was like, dang it, dude. Like those weird confrontations at work when you just really have to work it out with your coworker. There's no way to avoid it. You know what I mean?
Well, we had a lot of passionate people in a small place.
Yeah.
And that's tough.
Everybody it usually comes out better from those
for
conversations,
sure.
Well, we got
right?
there.
For always. Sure.
Like, that's where.
I mean, I kind of miss. I mean, it works.
You
want to
chop it
that.
Up, bro?
Bro, I really hate when you're.
He's like, looking at
his notes.
What did I have some notes? Stuff Charles does that pisses me off.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you clear the air, it's kind of nice. And, you know, it was cool too because we were just kind of left to our own devices. There certainly wasn't any manager that was going to, you know, connect the dots for us or anything.
You're just out there, dude.
You're just doing whatever you were doing.
All of us were going after it. Just as long as it was clean and tasted good. 42 second melters, we're dialed.
42 second shot.
42 second banger.
Like 23 grams in.
Yeah.
It's like barely fitting in the
port
filter.
Yeah, I was going to say. You're like
24.5 sometimes.
Welding your own port filter.
Super slow. I was banging a lot in a 20 gram basket. Yeah,
yeah, dude. Just because you can see the screw in
the
there.
The grind's so
it's
fine, too. Yeah.
It's fine, bro.
You can do whatever you want.
Drip, drip, drop.
I'm trying to think of any other funny, weird stories that happened
plenty
at
them,
41st. I'm sure you have a bunch of them.
It's fine, dude.
No comment?
Plenty of stories.
No comment.
Plenty of stories. Stories all around, sitting there drinking Boston lattes, we'd call them.
That'd That's be, a Boston latte.
It's Sam Adams Boston Lager in a 16-ounce cup when you first opened.
Oh, yeah.
Because we'd be there from 5 a.m. till, got to do those Chico hours, close at 10 p.m. in a town that's dead by 7. So just 5 to 10, 10:30 closes, and you're sitting there from like whatever, 8 to 10, sipping on a 16-ouncer.
Man,
or whatever, a 12-ouncer and a 16-ouncer.
All right, I thought you said you were drinking it at 5 a.m.
Nah.
For the open.
Nah.
Okay.
We would be ripping music, though. Sean would always play, like, the ultimate disco dance club, super loud at 5 a.m. for the guests. And
nice.
I was into it at the time for sure. It was really fun.
Raver Jer.
Yeah, dude. Candy Raver Jer, dude. Clean candy raver, though. Never eat, but pretended like I did.
Glow sticks in the shop?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, not in the shop, dude. Nah.
Remember when you glow stick my espresso cups together?
Probably, dude. Probably did. Tried to show your Terra cups, the special ones. Cups. Had to get them sent some specials.
Platinum lip ones. We were training. We were like leaving in 2 days or something, and you grabbed two of them, and you were like doing the glow stick thing. And just like clink together, and I was like, what the fuck, dude?
Shot onto the ground and broke.
So bummed. I was like so sad. I was like, so weird. I was like, what are you doing, bro?
These are great questions. What was I doing? This is where ADHD met coffee. Lots of it. Let's do a move. Show off for these guys. Jonathan Withers and Ian Levine. Taste the beans.
Did we get Withers on the podcast?
I told him. He said he's down.
That'd be cool.
I don't see him anywhere, though.
We've been having a good chat, so.
Yeah, he's in the area.
He's got a good point of view, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe I'll invite him next week.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That would be fun.
It'll be like an eight-hour banger. We'll just talk about literally everything.
Yeah.
Bring Monsieur Alan Withers.
From A to Z?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Is this a short podcast?
I don't even know how long we've been here.
Can be.
Just about a half
hour. Been flow state all day, you know, guys?
I think you are in flow state, like, all the time.
No, thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
It's weird. I wonder if we should podcast before we do the meeting.
Yeah, probably a good idea.
Yeah,
you know, that's probably the way to go.
Yeah,
just kind of warm up, and then we can get into business. Because sometimes after the meeting,
let's
it feels
get
like
down to business. We just got to business.
Yeah, it feels like we it's just got classic. To business.
Yeah, it's the classic podcast. Like, you already talked, and then you're talking
now
again.
You're talking again.
Yeah,
we're really breaking down barriers over here.
That's what I'm talking about. I mean, if you're talking walk the floor, though, I did notice it at Disney. I was there with the girls. There's always twos. They walk in twos.
Oh, so, really?
We had different
they
perspectives.
They walk in twos. Yep. And then they probably, they calibrate, I'm sure. Or maybe one of them is like in training or whatever, less senior, maybe not. But they walk in twos for sure, always.
I mean, I'll have to note that.
Another perspective if we wanted was if we ever wanted like Dulce to come talk. Like, she just did her first solo Greenbine trip to Guatemala last week.
Because she just passed the queue too.
Yeah, she just passed the queue. She just led a solo trip to Guatemala. She's gonna lead the trip to Honduras this year. And it was
give me that pen right there. I'm gonna write this down so I don't forget it.
Jot this down.
It was great. Like, George Howell is there in Guatemala with his daughter.
Damn.
He's all, did you know that I invented the Frappuccino?
Did you know that I invented freezing coffee? Do you know that I invented specialty coffee?
She said he's a real talker, that guy.
I don't think I've ever met him.
Yeah.
Legend, bro. Gio, dude.
Yeah.
Mind if I call you Gio? First time you meet him?
George.
I'd like to call you Gio. Is that chill? Thanks,
like,
Gio.
My middle name is George.
Just do it anyway.
We're kind of connected, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
She was telling me some of the... Yeah, she's got some good stories from the trip.
What's his company? Is it just George Howell?
It's George Howell Coffee, yeah.
Was there another one that he was involved in at some point?
Isn't that
the
pods? Not the pods. Yeah, the pods.
Frozen.
Yeah.
Frozen coffee.
Comptier.
Oh.
Yeah, Comptier.
Is he a part of Comptier?
I think he's the one who helped make Comptier.
Yep. No shit.
I could be so wrong about that.
Really?
I
thought he froze green coffee.
He definitely freezes green coffee.
Comptier has the fucking worst ads on Instagram ever.
Don't they have Seth Rogen? Isn't that the one he's on?
I don't know.
I think it is. I'm Seth Rogen, and I like to freaking drop a little nug
for some
in
reason,
my water.
Like, you know, I mean, obviously the algorithm knows exactly who I am. You know, it sees into my soul.
What's
so
yours?
I get Comptier coffees popping up. Like,
they're trying to say that I'm a stoner?
They're like, what's that?
They're trying to say that I'm a stoner if I get Seth Rogen?
Oh, yeah. No, mine are just these like annoying influencer people that they're just nobodies, but they're just
I did see those where they're like, this my husband
coffee just changed my life.
Well, bestcoffeereviews.com.
Yeah, I was just like, what?
Best Comptier at number three, 2024.
Hell yeah, dude. Because like, who wouldn't want to just warm up a pod of frozen coffee and then like dump it into a fucking cup and pretend like you did something cool? It's like, damn, dude, get over that shit. Like, I don't need any of that in my life, dude.
So that is true. I remember those. I used to have those ones show up where it was like, yeah, it was like My husband only drinks the best specialty coffee, and I could never get him to have it until this.
Yeah, they're just like, so, oh, it reminds me of every commercial I saw in the 80s and 90s when everything was just like Miracle Blade, Turbo Ginsu. It's like, this is the best. Tell him what he's won, Jer.
Yeah, all that's right. The one.
Well, no, commentator is Matt Roberts.
I don't know who that is. Just over here at Commentator Trash Talk Hour.
He was a sugar and cream, hold the coffee kind of guy.
Hi there, I'm Seth Rogen. And how we believe that before you bake, you must wake. And there's a better way to wake than drinking coffee. And that's why we partnered with Commentator.
There you go.
Anytime anybody,
it's the same thing, but
anytime anybody says we've partnered with, my brain just turns off. It's like, can you imagine? Obviously it works, or you know, they wouldn't be doing it, but
we'll
like,
find out.
No, it was.
Can you imagine saying, hey, it's Jared Truby, and I've partnered with, like, once you say I've partnered with, dude, your soul just fucking leaves your body, dude. It's gone. It's just out. Like, what are you?
I've partnered with the fine people down at Harry's.
Hey guys, Chris from Cat and Cloud here. I'm over here, and we've partnered with Beeline Motor Club to bring you fancy cars and fancy coffee
together.
Finally,
that took forever. You asked for it, you got it. What do you got over there? In fact checker,
2014, Roberts presented his prototype to the Godfather of specialty coffee, George Howell.
G. Howell.
The result was almost what he'd hoped. Hal admitted he was onto something revolutionary, but not before first spitting out the undrinkable brew Roberts had offered him.
I love it. That's awesome.
Roberts, this is undrinkable.
It's on their website.
George Howell keeping it way too real.
Oh, yeah, they got some pics.
He's like, you got potential? This tastes like shit, brother.
Girl, hey, bring it back here real quick. Okay, one more spit take for the photo. Thanks. This is him spitting it out.
I'm the king of the freezer. So he probably got with George Howell, and they formulated it. Somehow.
I
so George
know. I'm just reading stuff.
And
like,
Arnold Schwarzenegger so that he could, because of all of his experiences, Mr. Freeze in Batman. Yeah.
The Frozenator?
I think the three of them together probably came up with the ultimate plan.
I mean, that's a pretty ironclad investor Absolutely. Group. If you've got George Howell and Schwarzenegger, you're pretty much guaranteed success, dude. Right?
That's pretty good.
There's a lot of avenues you could take it, you know?
Absolutely. And now Seth Rogen.
I just love the process of things, and that's why little frozen coffee nuggets are just so unappealing to me. You know, I've never tasted it, so maybe it's completely delicious.
A cup of it.
Fast forward 6 months when we have frozen coffee nugget things.
Got to give the people what they want. Well, you know what I mean? It's like I wake up in the morning. And I make myself coffee, and I open the bag, and I grind the coffee, and I, you know, pick my brewing method.
You like your ritual.
And then there's 3 to 4 minutes of just me making coffee, and I love the way it smells, and I love the way it sounds. I like, you know, I love to hear the grinder. Bonus points, Eleanor loves to turn the grinder on and off now, which is super fun. Oh. So it's just that moment in time feels very
your moment
special to me.
Yeah.
So I would never ever consider replacing it with just warming up a frozen pod and dropping it into some hot water. I almost don't care how good it tastes.
Yeah.
And that's just what I'm after. But, you know, if someone else is after something different, that's cool.
Yeah, I'm going to believe you're not the target.
No,
target
absolutely
demographic
not. Yeah.
For,
I'm just kind of explaining my thought process so people don't think I'm just hating for fun. Which I'm hating for fun a little bit, but there's a reason
we do
behind
enjoy
it. Yeah. Nothing wrong with a little hating for fun.
Nothing wrong with recycling a seltzer commercial and saying, hey, for you and your friend, plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Plop, plop,
oh, what a
fizz,
relief
fizz.
It is. And have yourself some Commentator.
That'd be a good...
Maybe they could get you for like an ad roll?
Absolutely, if they wanted to. It wouldn't cost you too much, except
Jared
for...
Truby?
Do they still make Alka-Seltzer?
Absolutely.
That also sounds
they've got
80s,
it.
Jeez.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is. Dang. Sounds awesome.
Imagine writing that one.
It's gold.
You and your friends.
Marketing gold.
Boom. You never knew what it was going to be until you... That was someone really famous who did a lot of other work. I can't remember their name.
Really?
Yeah, some dude. I don't know.
The original slogan writer.
Original slogan writer.
Man, George Howell.
That.
It was probably George Howell.
It was probably George Howell.
Before he got into coffee, he was also doing Alka-Seltzer commercials.
I'm sure he's multi-talented, you know?
Gotta be.
Most of those business owners can't just do one thing. They do a lot of stuff really well.
Mm.
Super smart guy. Mm. Anyway, commenteer, if you want to collab, just hit us up. I'm ready.
Specifically Chris. He's specifically looking more to it.
Direct all your...
I got a little YouTube channel.
All your communication.
Hit him on that one.
We could do a blind cupping. We could brew some coffee, brew some commentary, taste it side by side, and you could prove me wrong. And
see
it'll
you
be
at Chicago. Yeah. They'll have a booth in Chicago. We can taste some. I actually did it. I remember having a good cup, but it was also the classic. Like, I'm not buying into this because everybody who is famous in coffee has been told to come over here and tell me it's awesome. And so, like, Ben Kaminsky
right?
was like, yeah, well, I mean, it's just the same, whatever. I mean, I had a good cup, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
And to each their own.
That's a great.
It's a great ending right
there. That's a great, that's a, it's good as ending as any.
Tie the bow.
Hey, everyone, that's the podcast for the week. Thanks so much for listening. If you heard something that inspired you, let us know or tell a friend. These are the types of connections that are the most important to us and that we seek to create every day. If there's something you heard and you want to know more about, send us an email to podcast@catandcloud.com or head to our website, catandcloud.com/podcast, and let us know. While you're on our site, check out everything we have to offer. Dive deep into one of our single origin coffees or pick up a little treat for yourself. We have something for everyone, so check it out. Also, find us in the usual places, YouTube, Instagram. We're always there sharing amazing things. All right, that's it. Thanks, everyone, for being awesome. We'll be back next week.